30 minutes. Let's take it from here. Dick Benford, Jimmy Edwards.
Hang on. Whoa, back, Dunners. Who do you think is going to understand if you tear along at that lick? You sound like variety fanfare with a stick of cordite behind you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Edwards. It's first I heard.
Well, pull yourself together, man. Let's have the announcement a bit more slowly. I've got to listen to it too, you know. It's a long time since we've done this. I didn't even recognize the opening music. I forgot what it's all about myself.
For the next 30 minutes, it's Take It From Here.
It's what?
Take It From Here.
Oh, lummy. Have they dredged that up again? Still, I suppose it's cheaper than starting a new show.
For the next 30 minutes, it's Take It From Here with Jimmy Edwards, Dick Benford.
With who?
Jimmy Edwards.
Oh, yes, he's very good. Yes, I like him. He does a schoolmaster bit, but he's very good, yeah.
Take It From Here with Jimmy Edwards, Dick Bentley.
Wait a minute. What was that last name?
Dick Bentley.
Yes, that name rings a knell. Bentley. Bentley with an E, wasn't it? Yeah, oh, yes. You know, it's so long since I've seen Bentley, I've forgotten what he's like.
What's the matter, sir?
I've just remembered what he's like. Good night, all.
No, desert me if you must, but not our child.
Eh?
Oh, call me wanton if you will, Nigel Buckmaster, but you made me the woman I am today. Though the world may brand me sinner, yet I am still a mother.
Basically, the auditions are over.
Oh.
The two girls have been chosen. No, Bentley, you know. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
You know, you don't change. You're still just as thick-headed, gormless, dim-witted, clueless...
Jimmy, please. It's unfair to start spreading things like that around. I also might want to get engaged someday.
Well, we'll engage you to entertain the queues or something like that. What's the idea of this impression?
Well, I'm still not sure what facet of me the BBC want to exploit this season. I mean, do they want the nationwide appeal of my comedy genius, the brilliant realism of my character work, the lyric glory of my singing, or do they just want me to be my own modest self? You see, there's so much of me to be tapped.
I'll go and get a hammer. You know, I'm as much in the dark as you are, Bentley. Mm. All I know is that you and I are both still in the show.
Well, after all, it'd be impossible to have one without the other. I mean, in the public mind, you and I are... what's the phrase? We're practically inseparable.
I said it. Then let us go forward, Bentley. In the words of the poet, if we can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, then are we... Then we are... Then how does Kipling put it?
Where?
All right, where does Kipling put it? The fact remains that there are some new things about this series which must be grasped.
Bag's Eye, the Dark One. Mind you, though. Yes, I do. The fair one is all very tasty.
Bentley, in the words of another poet, there'll be none of that.
Oh, I didn't know your fiancé was a poet. Just the same, I still think we should have a word with the dark young lady, Miss Alma Cogan.
Ah, we could try it. Miss Cogan, could you come to the cash desk a moment, please?
Call me once and if you will, Nigel Buckmaster. But you made me the woman I am today. Though the world
may... All right, dear, all right. You don't have to keep on doing it. You're in. Now, Miss Cogan, I'm told that as well as singing, you have some experience of dialogue.
Oh, yes, sir. I've played in tragedy.
Don't let Jimmy confuse you, Alma. You sing your song, dear.
Me? But isn't this where the keynote you...
No, not this series, dear. This is a completely new Take It From Here, crammed with novelty and ingenious new twists. Don't worry, everybody. Next week, it's back to the tried and true. Let's hear from you, ducks.
Isn't life wonderful, me? Isn't it fun to be under the sun and the sky? When the barometer's high,
just as high as the sky.
Ain't the world beautiful, me? Looking so right that it's quite a delight to the eye. Just to watch it go by. Maybe we can explain this summer magic. All seems right with the world to people in love. Isn't love marvelous, beautiful, wonderful? We must confess that the answer is yes, 'cause we've found. Life's so
wonderfully sweet that we can't keep our feet on the ground. Love keeps this wonderful world going round and around.
Maybe we can explain this mist on the magic moon. All seems bright with the world to people in love.
Isn't love marvelous, beautiful, wonderful? We must confess that the answer is yes, because we found. So wonderfully sweet that we can't keep our feet on the ground. Love keeps this wonderful world going round and around.
Round and around and around and around and around.
Tight's Talking Point. Tyfe has decided to present a radio family who will discuss really important nationwide problems, problems which concern all of us. Our family, the Glums, are very ordinary people. They might be you, or you, or you. All five of them are shifty, obstinate, argumentative, and dim. So, over to the Glum family, who are discussing this week's talking point, is marriage today an economic anachronism?
Well, Ethel, it's not every day that a father has a chance to greet his son's intended. That's Mother there bending down to poke the fire.
Straighten up, Mother, there you are.
Hello, Mom, dear. So this is Ethel. Hold on. Lovely.
She's what?
Oh, just a minute. I better get me other glasses.
Well, sit down, Ethel, sweetheart. That's Grandma over there having a snooze.
Really?
She came to live here during the war.
The Zeppelins frightened her, you know. Are you all right, are you, Ethel?
Oh, yes. I was very scared of meeting Ron's folk. Because, well, you know, but now I feel quite at ease.
Sweetheart, you're sitting on the dog. Upsie.
Oh, Ron!
It was the dog, dear.
Well, now, you two lovebirds, what can I say? You're embarking on the great adventure in very unsettled times, you know? They're cleaning up the West End. I'll tell you, the future looks black.
Dad, what you don't seem to realize is we are the future, me and Ethel.
Oh, blimey.
The torch, Dad, I'm serious, I am. The torch has been handed on. We're trying to build a world that's strong and splendid and fearless and... what are you scratching for, beloved?
I think it was that dog. I'll sit on the sofa if you don't mind.
Oh.
Well, Ron, them's fine words, Ron, but have you studied the economics of marriage? I mean, when I married your mother, you know what was in my weekly wage packet? 14 bob.
Yes, but you fiddle £5 a week on the side.
That's neither in nor out. It's the principle I'm talking about. And I've always been a man of principle.
Yes, but Dad, Ethel and I have got modern ideas on marriage. If we find we're incompatible, hey-ho, we'll say it was just one of those things.
One of which things? Oh, wrong. I'm not easily shocked, but... Oh, wrong. Is this the golden-haired boy in the sailor suit what used to climb onto his dad's knee and recite Goblin Market?
I've grown up, Dad. That was last Christmas. I'm at Earth now. And I've become a man.
When? When was that? Where's Miss Strap?
No, Mr. Glum. Ron's right. You don't keep up with modern thought.
So, I'm out of date, am I, eh? Oh, Ron, you can call me a stupid old stick in the mud if you like.
Thank you, Dad.
Wrong.
Dad?
I hadn't finished, had I?
No, Dad.
Well, let's have no cleverness then. To me, a husband's duty is to stick by his wife, to cherish her, to protect her, to take the load from off of her. Here, the fire's nearly out. Mother, where's the coal then? Well, go out to the shed and get some. Well, you got a match, ain't ya? Poor how I stuck her all these years on what me head looked at. Now, where was I?
Sorry, Dad. Ethel's had to go. She's on night.
Of course, again, I may be presuming, perhaps, Ron, but Ethel looked a bit drawn to me. You know, drawn in the face. You going to let her continue that work as handler in the locomotive works?
Oh, don't worry, Dad. I'm a bit old-fashioned that way myself. Things will be different after we're married. I say there can be no real home life when a husband and wife are both out working.
Well, I'm glad we see eye to eye there. Have you spoken to her about it?
Oh, I've done more. I handed in me notice this morning.
They warn me when you kiss me, your love will break the chain. Your lips would find another, and your heart would go astray.
And baby, I don't want a rich romance, I don't want a rich love. If you tell us with your kisses, find another kind of love. I can't live a rich romance, no, no, not me.
Promise you'd be faithful, that you would never stray, and like a rifle bullet, you began to rape the cake.
The whole setup is absolutely scandalous. I say, are you Edward?
No, I'm Bentley. Edwards is the one with the built-in smog mask.
Bentley.
It's
a scandal that affects every single citizen of society. What I'm saying covers both of you.
In a fine spray, if I may say.
Who are you, sir? I am disgusted at Tunbridge Wells. The man who writes all the letters to the newspapers. Now, I want you to help me protest against petty swindles and insidious hypocrisies of everyday life.
But I don't quite...
Answer me this. In a cinema, why is the ice cream girl never as pretty as the one they show on the screen?
Well, I suppose you just...
Shameful is the word, sir, shameful. Or take the London Passenger Transport Board. Now, why are all the corset advertisements always by the side of the down escalator?
I don't know. I suppose it's there.
It's undignified for a gentleman of my standing to have to claw his way up the down one every morning.
Oh, we appreciate these problems, Mr. Discussion.
Now, two gentlemen command the ear of millions. Help publicize these ceaseless abuses. Go to the fountainhead.
Well, it can't be wetter than where we're standing now.
I just fell hook, line, and sinker for the sweetest gal in town. I'm all tied up with a brand new love affair.
I can't tell which way I'm going, 'cause the world is upside down. I know that I'm gone.
The panic is on. He has lips that taste like wine.
I like his and he likes mine.
What a perfect combination. No wonder we're in love. He has found that perfect taste.
I have arms that fit his waist.
What a perfect combination. No wonder we're in love. She taught me one thing.
What's that?
Love is only what you're making.
And I know one thing. He can dish it out and I can take it.
When we neck all night. I'm a wreck.
Good. I'm a sight.
What a perfect combination. No wonder we're in love.
I like you. Do you like me?
I'm for you. Oh, can't you see?
No
wonder, darling, we're in love.
Well,
Waiter, two more brandies and soda.
Yes, sir.
Edwards, I refuse to believe it. A lady is born, not made, must have breeding.
Well, huh? With all due respect, Your Grace, and speaking as Professor Elocution myself, I must inform you that you're talking through your chitfa. I mean, you see, I did it. Didn't I, Bentley?
Oh, he did, Your Grace. Let us tell you how we took a young girl with no background, a market girl, and trained her till she could take over high society's most coveted position. Playing opposite me and take it from here.
This is an incredible story. This is Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion all over again.
That's right, Big Mouth. Give the plot away. Some marchionesses do have them. but it is true. Bentley will tell you. He'll tell you.
It was a fine October evening, so Professor Edwards and I decided to walk home from the club. We both had that satisfied feeling which follows a good dinner. Professor Edwards was the first to break the silence.
Whee! Manners. Bentley.
All right?
I think I'll be all right. Yes. Bentley, why is he a little bit though? Mm. Bentley, I still say I'm right. What we must do is look for a raw, inexperienced girl whom we can work on.
But you said we were going straight home.
Oh, no, no. No. I mean, the take it from here girl.
Oh.
And, Bentley, open your opera hat. You look as if you're wearing a gramophone record.
Yes, sorry, old lady. But I don't quite see your line of reasoning.
Well, I'm still enthusiastic about it. I'd like to find a girl whom we can transform. Mm. A piece of human clay whom we can mold into a different person. You know, like Epstein.
I don't want a girl who looks like Epstein. No. Professor, your idea is preposterous. You're barking up the wrong creek.
I know I can do it. What do you think I got my degree in elocution for?
8 cornflake packets, wasn't it?
Oh, no, I never.
Enough.
Clever Dick. I'm not making an idle boast here, Bentley. 3 years ago, a man came to me and offered me a £1 note per day to teach him to talk like a gentleman. For a fortnight, I worked on him. And do you know where that man is today?
No.
Neither do I. And you know that blighter owes me 14 nickel? Bentley, I think we're passing through Covent Garden. Here's where I'll find my piece of common human clay among these barrow girls.
Barrow girls? But, Professor, their appearance, their language.
Condemn them not for their language, Bentley. Let us just say they're angels with dirty phrases. Now look, there's one.
Where? Oh, but Professor, she's 16 feet tall, with a green face.
Bentley, she's balancing 8 baskets of cabbages on her head. Hey, you, a working class girl. May I talk with you for a moment? Oh, you shouldn't have nodded your head, dear. Look at old Bentley up to his neck in cabbages. Are you all right, Bentley?
Yeah, all right. First time I've been in the Savoy.
Excuse me, miss. My colleague and I were wondering if you'd consider a career on the BBC.
You clumsy, great fat ox. If you don't get out of my way, I'll fetch you one across the mush with a bag of King Edward, you silly bone perisher.
She seems friendly enough. Bentley, this is it. This is our girl. And now, my dear, calm down.
I can't. I'm as excited as you are. Young lady, I don't believe you realize to whom you're addressing. This is Professor Jimmy Edwards.
Professor Edwards? Then you're Dick Bentley.
I do have that privilege, yes.
Oh, I never realized. You want me to go on the BBC with you? But you're lummy, Governor, you're a dude.
I may be a dude now, but I too have been through the mill.
This is what we call mildewed. My dear, we are going to turn you into a BBC lady, an elegant, graceful BBC lady.
Oh, Professor, it's like some wonderful dream. Me, little Judy Whitfield, a lady. Sure, it does seem real somehow. I want to pinch myself.
Allow me.
You'll be proud of me, see, if you don't go. I'll do it. You'll never regret this. Oh, bless you, sir. Bless you.
All right. Not too much of the acting, dear. Remember Jim's warning. Register, but don't overshadow the principal. Now. again.
And now brown cow.
Now the next one.
Stew prunes and prisons. Stew prunes and prisons.
Yes, go on.
The rain is fine, they say. Falls mainly on
no,
the plain.
No, 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 no. Your vowel sounds are beginning to slip a little. You must remember, to get on taking from here, it is essential to be vowel-minded. Now, Miss Whitfield, watch my lips. Well, watch my bottom lip, anyway. Stewed prune. They got it. A stewed prune.
Oh.
You see, do you? You see how I get stewed before even touching prune. Now, have another bushes at my lips. Now, every evening Aunt Ada's Adam's apple oscillates. Every evening Aunt Ada's Adam's apple oscillates.
It's awful hard for me, Professor.
It's pretty embarrassing for Uncle Ted. These things have to be faced, buddy. Now then, with me.
Ow now, brown cow. Ow now, brown cow. Ow now, brown cow.
I had to miss the last 3 weeks of Miss Whitfield's training as I was confined to my bed. My suit had to be pressed for our Radio Times photograph. And when I next go around to see the professor's rooms, I found him so greatly excited, his moustache was drooping over his mouth. When he spoke, his voice was strained.
Bentley, I've done it. This girl is my chef d'oeuvre. You won't recognize her. Now, let me bid her enter. Oh, Miss Whitfield. Here. Miss Whitfield. June. Oi, Lady Muck. Now, dear, you remember this sunburnt gentleman, don't you?
Oh, yes. How now, brown cow?
Oh, nicely, thank you, nicely. Yes. Would you favor me, Miss Whitfield, with a sample of your diction?
Certainly. Who will set light to the bishop's celluloid collar? I will set light to the bishop's celluloid collar. See, the bishop's celluloid collar is ablaze.
Well, well, Bentley. Holy smoke!
And so the Pygmalion story came true. The producer of Take It Here was intrigued by Miss Whitfield's history. When he saw her, he was even more intrigued by her geography. She got the job.
And I want to pay tribute to the patience and kindness of Professor Edwards. If it were not for he, I would still be carrying cabbage baskets in dirty old Covent Garden at nearly twice the money I'm getting here.
Miss Whitfield, Jim is a very great gentleman. And that is not only my opinion, it is also his.
I only wish there was some way, some worthwhile way, in which I could show him my gratitude.
Miss Whitfield, I'm a man of the world. Jim's not made of wood, you know. Might I suggest that
not
if we...
Not Pygmalion like me, a great sparrow shall fetch him out of...
Miss Whitfield! You prune, Miss Whitfield!
Harry, a bit of it to the augmented BBC. If you want to bring our recorded show to a close. Well done, Bowles, Vivek Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Albert Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynote. Frank Miller and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. Dick and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week and...
Take it from you.